Is not the theme of the Holy Bible the problem of sin? And thankfully, God's answer to the problem of sin. Well, since all accountable souls have sinned, Romans 3:23, and sin does what? Separates the sinner from the absolute holiness of God. Isaiah 59:1-2. And of course, God is holy. Leviticus 27, and we are to be holy because He is. 1 Peter 1:16. Should we not conclude that sin is man's greatest problem? Well, yes, it is. And having been separated from God by our sins, thus our greatest need is what? The forgiveness of our sins. Yes, sir. The scriptures teach us that if we die unforgiven of our sins, that's being in a lost condition, we will be cast into the fires of hell for eternity on the day of judgment. That should get everyone's attention. Matthew 25:31-46 deal with the great day of judgment when the Lord will come again and separate the sheep from the goats. We better be with the sheep. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Jesus is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And since all sin is against God, putting into practice a good scriptural knowledge on receiving and giving forgiveness should be of the utmost concern to us all. Therefore, let us begin a study concerning forgiveness. And before we begin that study, let me start out with this very fact, that the Morgan Street Church of Christ is welcoming you to preparing for eternity. And I'm Bob Hawkins, the preacher, and I look forward to having you join with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. Yes, and as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but also following the pattern in the New Testament that God has given us. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. We love to have visitors. Now, something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And your Bible questions and comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. Again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let me make this announcement, as September will be here before we know it. September the 12th through the 14th, we have a gospel meeting scheduled with Brother Donnie Vick from the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, and he is a sound and good, faithful gospel preacher that we look forward to hearing him shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. And I can assure you, you will hear the truth. And the times of the services, Friday night and Saturday night, 7 p.m. That would be on the 12th and 13th, and then on the 14th, Sunday morning, 9:30, then the 10:30 worship service, a wonderful potluck lunch following the morning services, and then we'll conclude with a 1 o'clock service. Now, we look forward to meeting you and joining in with us for our gospel meeting. Now, let's get into our study concerning forgiveness. And let's begin with this. Before sin entered paradise, there was no need for forgiveness of any kind. But after Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? Number one, they died spiritually, which meant they were separated from God and in need of what? Forgiveness. That's right. Forgiveness of their sins. Two, paradise and the tree of life were lost forever on the earth. Regardless of how many people today think you can have paradise here on the earth. No, sir. That was lost forever. Number three, evil, suffering, and death entered into the world. Adam and Eve later died, did they not? Yes, and we know that that's what entered into the world after they sinned. And number four, God began unfolding His plan of redemption, for which all of mankind should not only be very thankful unto God, but love and obey Him, should we not? In Genesis 3:15, you have the first prophecy of Christ. And certainly we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Yes, sir. Matthew 22:37. Now, in the book Voyage of Faith, Principles of Faith Revolving on the Axis of Baptism, this book is outstanding. Brother Frank Chesser, the author, and I wanted to read what he had to say on page 12 as this unveils an ugly portrait of sin. And this will help us in being aware of the awfulness of sin. Now, here it is. Sin ruined everything. The seductive sound of the serpent's voice penetrated the serenity of Eden, encased Eve's mind in the web of deceit, subverted her view of God, postured the world on the road of ruin. Sin emanated from the womb of self-rule. It coiled around the heart of perfect work of God and crushed its spiritual life. Walking with God was supplanted by judgment, and the perfection and innocence of Eden was retained only in the memory of Adam and Eve. From Genesis 3:6 onward, sin has slithered throughout the world of humanity, inserting the incalculable venom of suffering, sorrow, and death into the spiritual bloodstream of every human being. Sin is man at war with himself. Sin devises a field of battle and sets man in the midst. Sin places a sword in man's hand and erects his own heart as its target. Cries of pain, ruin, despair, dying, and death fill the air as lives come to a tragic end in the heat of combat and souls encounter eternity unprepared to meet God. Now that's the portrait, yes, that should draw our attention to the ugliness and terribleness of sin and what it does and has done and continues to do. So in our study concerning forgiveness, we want to start out with God will forgive us if we submit to His will. We also want to cover, as Christians, we are to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. And number three, as Christians, having been forgiven of our sins by God, we are to forgive ourselves. So let's start out with number one. God will forgive us if we submit to His will. So we start out with the Old Testament, and we learn that someone is coming. And in the New Testament, we learn that the second person of the Godhead became flesh for the purpose of dying for the sins of all accountable souls. And since God had the plan of redemption in His mind, before the world began, he knew that God would eventually sin, did he not? Of course he did. Having been given free will, you see, man chose to obey or not to obey God from the very beginning and continues so today. Now, notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, that was before the foundation of the world, wasn't it, that God had that in mind? Yes, and you see in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This was in the mind of God, the plan of redemption. Yes, and God set forth that plan as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, the plan of redemption began to unfold. Genesis 3, as you see in verses 1 through 15. Well, again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That verse brings to our attention that all souls who are accountable unto God are in need of the forgiveness of their sins. So let's keep in mind that without the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross, there would be no forgiveness of sins for anyone, from Adam and Eve until the end of time. As we study Hebrews 9:11-10, all the way through chapter 10, verse 18. Yes. Now, this is a crucial study concerning forgiveness, since our eternal salvation depends on our obeying the gospel of Christ to receive the forgiveness of our sins against God and our forgiving those who sin against us and repent. Mark 11:25-26. Of course, Mark 16:15-16. Luke 17:3-4. We're to repent. Yes, and we're to be baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. We're to submit to the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:8-9, and obey the gospel. Now, the world being full of sin demands not only our full attention concerning the subject of forgiveness, but our having a desire for learning and obeying God's will. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Not half-hearted. Diligently seek him. So again, God knew from the foundation of the world that he would give his only begotten Son to be the sacrificial lamb of God, for not the only, and this is for the only means of salvation. There's no other way, no other way given among men where man must be saved. It's by the name of Christ, his authority, and submitting to that authority, that we're able to contact his precious blood that washes away our sins. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to God the Father? There's one, if we're honest. John 14:6 reveals this. So as we study from the Old Testament, that of course reveals God's willingness to forgive the sins of his children, may we appreciate more the love God has for souls of mankind. Yes, of course he does. Notice Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, as David offered this praise unto God. And he certainly needed forgiveness of his sins, did he not? What about Isaiah, the messianic prophet? He extended an invitation from God to the people of Judah that if they would be obedient, they would receive forgiveness, but if they refused to obey God's will, punishment. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient," notice that, "ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now, the prophet Micah and his tribute to God gave encouragement unto the people of Judah also. Micah 7, 18 and 19. "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." These are word pictures that come to life as we study them, do they not? So we can be assured that these inspired statements were made in the Old Testament because of the foreknowledge of God. Yes, God the Father, knowing that the blood of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would wash away the sins of all the faithful living under the patriarchal law and the Mosaic law in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4. God sent forth His Son when the time was right. Study Ephesians 3:8 through 12. The foreknowledge of God. Yes. Now, do we recall how the atonement of sins under the law of Moses included daily animal sacrifices upon the burnt altar of the tabernacle of the congregation and the yearly observance of the Day of Atonement? If we studied Exodus 29, 36 through 46, we should recall that, Leviticus 16, 29 through 34. Yes, God gave Moses the instructions for Aaron's duties as the first high priest, later his descendant's sons who would hold the office of high priest, Exodus 27, 21, 29, verse 9. And remember, on the great Day of Atonement, the high priest was to enter the most holy place to do the following, Leviticus 16, 14, "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times." Now, we should understand, however, that the order of Aaron's priesthood changed along with the law of Moses when Christ died on the cruel cross of Calvary. Hebrews 7, let's notice 11 through 14. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" The question is raised. Now notice, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of a necessity a change also of the law." The priesthood changed, now the law is going to have to change. "For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood." The priesthood, of course, was of the tribe of Levi. And we should recognize here the silence of the Scriptures. If Moses didn't speak about that, then that's not for us to put in there, is it? Now notice, the law of Moses, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. And a better covenant, the New Testament, the law of Christ, came into effect by the death of Christ, who is its mediator. Yes, and we should see that in Matthew 26, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Notice verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Yes, the New Testament, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's not forget that. Now, Galatians 6:2, we know that we're to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye what? The law of Christ. Yes, James 1:25, it's the perfect law of liberty. So we need to understand that Jesus brought in a better covenant by his blood being shed. And the sins of the Israelites, living faithful under the Mosaic law, they were said to be forgiven, Leviticus 4:20, but only in prospect of the coming Messiah. God being omniscient, he could use the present or past tense when speaking about what is yet to come. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them, Isaiah 42:9, speaking what the Lord said. So let's keep that in mind. The sins of the faithful during the patriarchal and Mosaic dispensations were not canceled out by animal sacrifices, but their debt was moved forward each year and remained on their account until the blood of Christ was shed, as a study of Hebrews 10:1-18 reveals to us. Now, in contrast with the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, we learn in the New Testament, according to the inspired Apostle John, that Jesus shed his precious blood when? In his death. John 19:33-34, you'll see the Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus after he had already died, then came out blood and water. Yes, that's when it happened. And as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that his blood was shed for the remission of sins. Now, that's present tense. Yes, Matthew 26:28, but he's still in the flesh. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. It's that sure. The inspired Apostle Peter in the first gospel sermon revealed that we have redemption in Christ through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in Acts 2:38, when the church began there in Jerusalem after Jesus had been resurrected from the grave on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, had been seen of a number over 500 at once, and was with his apostles until he ascended up into heaven. You see, this is vitally important for us to study from the scriptures and understand these things. So when the day of Pentecost began, this is when the disciples, the apostles, and Matthias replaced Judas. As you can see there in chapter 1, they were all together when the Holy Spirit's power immersed them, and they began to speak in tongues which they'd never studied, and they preached the gospel of Christ. This is the day the church began. And those that obeyed the gospel by being baptized for the remission of their sins, having repented, of course they had to believe and make the good confession, they were added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. You see, Luke, the inspired physician, recorded Paul's conversion with Ananias, telling him to be what? To be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. The inspired apostle John declared that the faithful brethren in the church had their sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Revelation 1, 4 and 5. The inspired apostle Paul made it clear that as we are baptized, immersed into Christ, we are baptized into the death of Christ, because that's when he shed his precious blood. John 19, 33 and 34, we mentioned a moment ago. Thus, after we have contacted the precious blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism, then we're raised up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 through 6, you'll want to study. What must I do to be saved from my sins? This question should be asked by every sinner upon the earth. What must I do to be saved from my sins? Well, those whose hearts were cut, pricked by the Word of God through the inspired Apostle Peter and the other apostles on that day, the Pentecost, when the church began there in Jerusalem, men and brethren, this is what they asked, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's his authority. You're submitting to it. And what is the baptism for? For the remission of sins. That's forgiveness, isn't it? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, 37 and 38. So what answer did Peter give when they asked that question? Did he say anything about asking Jesus to come into your heart? Did he say anything about faith only will save you? Or you're saved by God's grace only? Did he say those things? No. No, he did not. Why don't we stay with the Bible? That's right. This is the Word of God, and we should submit to it. Saul of Tarsus asked an excellent question as the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus to arrest Christians. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would... Now, here it is. Lord, what will thou have me to do? You see, when Paul persecuted the church, he was kicking against the pricks. He made hurt to our Lord and Savior because his body is the true church. And the members of the church are part of his body. Now, we need to understand that. But Paul was told what to do, wasn't he, by Ananias? Well, the point is, have we obeyed the gospel? Are we forgiven of our sins as God is willing to do so, and it cost him his only begotten Son in order for us to have salvation from our sins? And we stand ready to assist anyone in studying together, staying with the Scriptures, doing what God has commanded us to do, and having the great feeling of having our burden taken off of us when we contact the blood of Christ in that watery grave. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life because we're a new person. Not physically, we don't change our appearance as we come up out of the water except tears of joy. But the sins are gone. Now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. And we can open up God's Word together, and we thank you so much for listening today.